Welcome to the Sweet Run Podcast, your source for all things running and travel in super fun destinations around the world. We're your hosts, Gerald Mitchell
and Natalie Mitchell. Welcome to episode 54 of the Sweet Run Podcast. And this week, we are extremely excited to welcome the rambling runner himself, Matt Chittum, to the show. Oh my gosh, we have so much fun talking to Matt about everything from running and training and to podcasting and so much more. And then we pivot a little bit and talk about living and running in Providence, Rhode Island. Matt is so funny. He's hilarious. I know you guys know that, but if you don't know, now you know. Anyway, Matt gives us great recommendations on the best places to run, fun places to dine out, where to grab a beer, where to go to the legendary beaches of Providence, Rhode Island, and so much more. This state is the smallest state in the U.S., but it is truly the mightiest. And I guess now we officially love Providence, Rhode Island, because we have had the city featured now twice in the last month. Be sure to go back and check out our fun episode with Olympian Molly Huddle and get her take on Providence. But for now, it's all about the rambling runner, Matt Chittum. We're so excited to share this with you guys. So, here we go. What's up, you guys? Fall is now officially here. We are in the fall season. Races are underway, and the next 3 months is going to be so exciting as everybody lines up to the starting line after a full summer of training and the crazy year that we've had. It is really going to be exciting. But the question is, what is going on inside your body? That's where Inside Tracker comes in. We love Inside Tracker. And why do we love Inside Tracker so much? Because they do truly help you find out what's going on inside your body and help you complete the entire puzzle of your whole athletic journey. So not only are you doing all the work on the roads and in the weight room and with your nutrition and all of that, but you want to see, am I missing something? Is there something I could be doing differently with my nutrition? Is my iron okay? Is my cholesterol, is it normal? Is it too high? Those are the things and a whole lot more that Inside Tracker provides. It's a science-backed, trackable action plan. It's super easy. You go get your blood taken. They take care of the rest and they do all of the testing. They give you back a really comprehensive plan on what you need to do to become a better athlete and a better person. But the good part is that we have a code for you. Use the code SWEETRUN to take 25% off of anything that they offer. We love the Essentials plan. It's easy. It's geared for runners. It's perfect to find out what you need to know. So a big thanks to Inside Tracker, and let's get on with our conversation. And now, friends, please enjoy our super fun conversation with Matt Chittum. I can't believe we're doing this, Matt Chittum. And now it's so funny. It's three of us, and yes, we're all in the podcasting world. I'm stoked to be talking to you. This is so much fun.
This is so much fun. I mean, no offense, Gerald, but I when I was walking through Stop and Shop last week, I saw Natalie on the cover of Runner's World in Stop and Shop in Rhode Island. Again, no disrespect to you. I'm sure you've done amazing things in this world and will continue to do amazing things. But I'm talking to someone who's on the cover of a magazine in my grocery store right now. This is incredible.
Hey, man, I married an amazing woman, and she's blessed me with three amazing kids. So, I'm good.
Oh, man, we got to stop this now. This is getting to be way too crazy.
Natalie, you can't take a compliment. I'm just going to keep laying it on the thing. You are a pinnacle. You are a shining light which we were all gravitating.
My cheeks are burning right now, you guys. You wouldn't be able to tell, but yes, my cheeks are burning.
Lay it on thick, man. Lay it on thick. She deserves it.
Matt, we are so happy to have you. Thank you so much for coming on the Sweet Run Podcast.
Yes, welcome, welcome.
This is great. You guys are doing such an innovative stuff. I love that you're doing this. This is such a interesting take on the running podcast. And, I'm obviously in the podcasting space as well. It's really fun and exciting. I love you guys stuck with it. You basically started it at the worst possible moment when it comes to business travel. You basically started at the week where everyone stopped traveling for business. But you're still doing it. It's really exciting. And this is great stuff. And you guys are such pros. You send me questions. They're all really good. I'm so excited for this.
Yeah, no, thank you. And I'll tell you, you know, it was like, what was it? Tale of Two Cities. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. I mean, hey, we're getting all this runway set up. So when this is over and everybody's back to normal, they're like, oh, we know exactly where to go. We've been waiting to go to all these places.
There you go. But here's the thing, too, is that I bet there's people who listen to this who are in the cities or areas that you're profiling who are like, oh, I didn't know about that place, whether it's a restaurant, a place to go out, an interesting spot in the area, a running trail or what have you. I can imagine there's people who are like, oh, wow, like I didn't know that was like the spot that like, you know, I'll just speak for myself, or like Molly Huddle says this place is great, like how come I haven't been there?
Right.
Oh, it's the same for us in our own city. We absolutely just had someone, Leslie Cohen, on last week. She's naming all these places and we're like, okay, I guess we just are not with it anymore. You're we right. Don't know any of this stuff or some of it. So it is neat to kind of have shine a light on your own city or someone else's, and you learn some new stuff. It's pretty cool.
We're gonna shine a light on you, Matt.
That's right. What's going on with you? You've been injured for a little while. Tell everybody listening what's been going on.
I was injured. So in the spring, I developed knee bursitis, which was such a pain in the butt. I was training really well. Then I basically had 3 months off, and it stunk. But then we figured out it was knee bursitis, and like the joke of it was like all I had to do was like some strength exercises. It went away like that. Wow. But I was obviously not fit at all. Came back and really started laying it on with really going into the aerobic development side. You know, I'm someone who, from a athletic perspective, is more of a fast switch athlete. Obviously, I'm 40 now, so maybe I'm less fast switch than I once was. But that was kind of where I came up. You know, whether it was track or playing, you know, high school and college basketball and stuff like that. Like that's kind of the stuff that I gravitated towards. If you compared me to runners of similar ability in terms of, say, our race results, I would do much better in track workouts versus threshold runs, marathon pace, stuff like that. Like I remember a decade ago when I was training for my last marathon, I'm training for CIM now, which I'm really excited about. But my previous, I skipped my 30s. So I ran a marathon 29 and now running one when I'm 40. But in my previous marathon endeavor, like I would do my track workouts with people who were trying to run, you know, basically like the guys who were trying to BQ. So running sub 305. Right, or women who are trying to run sub 3, that's who I do track workouts with. And then I would do like my marathon pace stuff with people who are hoping to break like 3:45. Like that's kind of how I was as an athlete. So now I'm really diving into time on feet, aerobic development. Like I just don't really care as much about the speed stuff, which is really helping. And it's been fun to try to go in a different way. So I've been able to train pretty consistently over the past several months, which has been fun. Had a little hiccup with my ankle because I rolled it, but then I just hopped on the bike and just kind of kept it rolling, literally and figuratively, with the bike in terms of, you know, consistent with the aerobic development. And right now, it's going really well. So, you know, I'm back up and now, I ran 48 miles last week, which was exciting.
Wow.
And, you know, just stay in that zone. And I haven't been at that kind of mileage in a decade, you know, not all because of injuries, certainly by choice at certain points. You know, skipping 3 cool downs in a week really, you know, hampers your ability to hit, you know, the higher mileage that you're hoping for. But I'm really embracing that style of things now, and it's paying dividends, that's for sure.
Nice. Glad to hear it.
I know. And I just saw that you just ran a 14-mile run, which what you were saying was your longest run in a while. So that's pretty awesome.
Right. That was basically the second longest run I've had in almost a decade. And I think the longest run was an 18-miler that I had. It was funny. This is a funny story. So anyone who's listening to this probably knows the name Matt Fitzgerald. He is like the man when it comes to running books. Right. Mm-hmm. So nonfiction running books, Matt Fitzgerald is the king on top of the podium. With that said, his parents lived in Rhode Island. So he put out on Twitter like, hey, I'm going to Rhode Island to get my long run in this weekend. Hopefully it works out. And I sent him a little like note like, hey, man, I live in Rhode Island. He doesn't know me from Adam. This was way preceded the podcast. So I'm just like, hey, I live in Rhode Island, man. I'd love to join you. He's like, all right, let's do it. I'm running 20 from my mom's house. You know, come on down, meet me there. So my wife is sitting in the room with me as I'm, you know, going back and forth. And she's looking at me like, you haven't run in 3 months. What are you doing? I'm like, I'll figure it out. I'll make it work. I will do anything to make this happen. So I was in there. Matt's asked me, he's like, what, so how are, you know, just a heads up. Like, are you going to be able to, like, are you in shape to do this? So I'm like, oh, yeah, man, totally. Yeah, I was going to be running this on my own. No problem. This was already on the schedule. So he's like, all right, fine. He's no way to verify this. So I go to his house and I'm like, please, dear God, I hope this works out. So we're like 2 miles in and he was like, oh, so how's your training going? I'm like, well, now that we're running, I would like to come clean about what I said. None of it was true. I was not going to run. I wasn't even planning on running. I was planning on running 0 miles this weekend, but I decided to hop on with you because I love your books. He's just like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
This was an out and back run. This was not like four loops around the neighborhood. So it was like, you know, we're running 10 and turning around.
Oh my gosh. Yep. That is insane.
So, you know, I did. I made it work. I was pretty sore the next day, but his mom made some great carrot cake. It was perfect post-run fuel, and it worked out. But that was the longest run I've done in the last, you know, 10 years or so. But 14 this weekend was great, and it was fun to do. And I can't wait to tell you the place where I did it, because actually it's the answer to one of your questions. And, you know, it was one of those things where, and I'm sure you've had these experiences too, where when the run's not going well, sometimes the answer is to slow down. But sometimes the answer is to speed up. And that's what I did. I was just like, you know what? I'm at mile 12. I'm dying over here. I'm listening to Hillary Allen's book, which is great if anyone's listened to it before. Hillary Allen's a sky runner who's insane. She's absolutely amazing. Fell off a mountain, almost died. Mm-hmm. The book is incredible. But I'm listening to like the PT part of her book, and it's like, it's not at the uplifting part yet. It's just in the depressing part. So I think that was contributing to my doldrums. So I like switch over to Spotify, put on the hip hop, and I'm like, I'm stepping my foot on the gas, and I just kind of peeled away for the last 2 miles. It was great, and I'm just excited to do more of that.
See, okay, I want to say, is this like a guy thing? Because I listened to your story, Matt, and there's no way I could do that. Like, if I was not in shape, right, and I had not run 20 miles in I don't know how long, no matter how much I wanted to, it could be Oprah and she could have been in amazing shape and was like, oh my gosh, you know, will you run with me? I mean, I guess maybe, but like I would be dying. Like in like 7 miles, 5 miles, I don't even know how you did that. How did you go out 10 miles and then have to come back and not even be in shape? That is crazy.
Well, it was kind of like it just escalated quickly. Like I wasn't aware how long the long run was going to be when I first messaged him. Like, he didn't say, like, hey, I got a 20-miler scheduled for Saturday. It was just, I got my long run. Like, that could be 12 miles. That could be 8 miles. I don't know. Like, it just happened really quickly. And it's just someone who, like, you say, like, you wouldn't run with Oprah. Obviously, you're way faster than Oprah. But, like, if the roles were reversed from a speed perspective, like, you wouldn't turn that down. Like, if you got, like, a call from, like, Harpo Studios and be like, Oprah's on the West Coast. She just left Chicago. She needs a running partner. You wouldn't be like, oh, well, I guess I'll call my friend Diane to see if she wants to run with her because I can't make it happen. Like, you would figure it out. You'd do something.
No, I would. You're so right. I would totally figure it out. But, like, I know me, and I would be like, I mean, like, were you inside? Were you dying? Were you huffing and puffing? Were you able to have a conversation with Matt? Or, like,
I talked the whole time with him, and it was like an, I can't explain it. It was just one of those things where, like,
adrenaline.
I mean, he wasn't pushing it. Let me be clear. He wasn't pushing it. Okay. Like, the last couple of miles, he kind of stepped on the gas a little bit. But we did run 8-minute pace. So it wasn't nothing.
Yeah.
I mean,
to be fair,
like, my fastest marathon at that point was like a 3:45. And I ran 8-minute pace for like the first 20 miles of that marathon, and then I developed a knee thing, and then I just kind of like the last couple miles just weren't pretty, but it wasn't like a fitness thing. It was more just like something cropped up. But with that said, even like you're preparing for a marathon, you don't run 18 miles at marathon pace in preparation. So I think it was just more like you're just not used to running with someone that you look at like that. Like for me, like this was like the pinnacle. Like I, you know, so yeah. I think it was just more like, maybe it's a testament to running is much more than what your your legs. You're not just a set of legs and lungs.
Yeah.
Right.
True.
Your brain plays an integral role in every element of this. And that was, I guess, a great example of it.
Well, I'm a big fan of Matt Fitzgerald as well. And so I don't blame you. If I had the opportunity to run with him, I would definitely do it too, whether I was in shape or not. So there you go. You're running CIM, which I just found out about this. I'm so excited for you. So you're up to like 48 miles a week. What are you doing as far as training and speed work and all that?
I'm running 6 days a week. Basically, the workout schedule is Tuesday. So today, so I ran a workout today. Tuesday's workout, Friday long run, and then Saturday, like mini long run the day after. So kind of doing these double headers, and then Sunday, day off. Wednesdays is actually a bike workout. So that's a new thing. So it's a very different plan than I've done in the past. It's actually a different plan than even things that I had scheduled for my own athletes in the past. And it's really been focusing on these weekend endeavors. You know, so I ran 14 the other day. Again, that's no like miracle run or anything. Anyone who's listened to this probably has run 14 very recently. But, you know, the next day I ran 10. That was new for me, is doing these double headers in preparation for the marathon, which I'm really excited about doing. And then the bike workouts are great because obviously they help with the aerobic development, but also like it's almost like is it Bill Rogers who says that doing hills is like, you know, speed training in disguise? Like biking is like weightlifting for your legs in disguise. Like it works your glutes to the max if you're, you know, pushing it and doing some sort of workout element in it. And that's what I've been doing. So kind of like 30 minutes easy and then doing 30 minutes of some fartlek work, right? So like basically some sort of interval thing, whether it's 2x7 with 2 minute easy or whatever, some sort of thing like that. And then the last 30 minutes being easy to moderate. So if I'm feeling good, kind of push it a little bit. So my ass is working, right? Like that's the point. Like my ass is working, and I didn't know I had to run with my ass, but I do. And that was part of the reason I got knee bursitis, is that the legs were moving, but only below the hips. Like I got to get above the hips to really keep it long term. And that's where the biking really helps. And I've noticed it. Like I've noticed strength in my legs, and I know it's like I'm looking at my legs and my quads with rose colored glasses when I look down, but I see Jan Ulrich quads when I look down when I'm on the bike. I'm sure it's more like chicken leg chittum to any passerby. But that's how I look at it, and I feel like it's helping.
No, you know what? I agree with you. I had started the last year, like really incorporating more cross training into my running. I mean, I was one of those runners before that was like run. And like now that I'm doing like more bike workouts, like you were saying, and like aqua jogging and all that, I really do find that it does make a difference in your ass.
No, it totally does, because I keep every facet of health. I keep, whether it's ergonomics in the office, whether it's, you know, our son was dealing with a back issue and he's running cross country, take him to the PT. Mm. Your glutes aren't firing. Your glutes aren't firing. It's like, hey, we got to get it together on the backside, you know?
I don't understand this. This is how we know that we're not animals, because I've never heard of a freaking horse who didn't have their glutes firing.
Right.
But if my dog goes in the backyard, he's sleeping all day, he sees a squirrel, he tears ass in the backyard, his glutes are firing just fine. What's wrong with my glutes? I have to do all this stuff.
I don't know. I want whatever the horse and your dog has, give it to me so I don't have to worry about firing my glutes already.
You gotta get the glutes firing, man.
Right. I mean, forget about Adam and Eve to show me that I'm different from animals. Like, all I have to do is compare my pre-run routine to the animals in my neighborhood, and I know I'm different.
All right. So you're going to CIM. Are you going to have a live show? Are you going to do anything with the podcast or just running?
From a COVID restriction standpoint, I don't know what's going to be from an indoor space perspective. So I'm doing something at Richmond next month, which is going to be exciting. We're doing a live show and stuff like that, similar to what I did at CIM in 2018, where we had two live shows. We recorded them and put them on the podcast. Same thing in Houston 2020, which was really exciting, at the expo as well. In Richmond, they're actually moved the expo to the infield of the Richmond racetrack. So it's like a, NASCAR, like a speedway type thing. So that will be interesting. I don't know. CIM has always been at the convention center in downtown Sacramento where they've held theirs. I don't know if that's going to change or not. But I will definitely be doing stuff related to meetups and the podcast. I don't know if I'm going to be doing a taping. It might just be like a get-together, which I did last time, which was really enjoyable and fun to meet people as well. And just like the expo itself was like, you go there and it's almost like a feeling of reunion. You just see all these people that you've had a chance to meet online and follow some of their running. And that was so enjoyable, which is why I'm going there again to do this, right? I mean, I'm going to be flying over a lot of cities that have marathons, right? Going from Rhode Island to Sacramento. But I can't wait. I mean, when I was in 2018, I was so excited. I was supposed to go there 2019. And then I had to cancel like 2 weeks before because I thought I had to have ankle surgery. Thankfully, I didn't. But I lined up all these guests, the same thing, all the guests for the expo, which was great. And I could not wait to talk to these people. But then I had to cancel and I called up, I sent a message to Lindsey Krause from the New York Times and another Rhode Islander, I should say, go Rhode Island.
Yeah.
And just said, hey, Lindsey, all these are already scheduled. All you have to do is show up. Do you want to do it? She's like, sounds good to me. And then she like got chronicled in the local newspaper. She crushed it. I mean, she's a Pulitzer Prize winner. So I'm sure it was worth everybody's time to have that substitution. But it's always a great event. And I'm so excited to do something similar. And we'll do as much as we can.
Yeah, that's how we met.
I know. I was just going to say, in 2018, we met you at your meetup. That's the first time we met in person.
Yeah, that was so much fun. That whole weekend was so much fun. And I was just so jealous that I didn't run the race. I went there just to be at the expo and then like do the meetup and then I flew home. I didn't run anything.
Well, this year now you're going to run and you're going to crush it.
I'm excited. And that's the thing is that I'm going into this is the first race I've ever planned for where there is no time goal. Like I'm going to run my fitness level. I'm not planning on a time goal. It's not affecting anything that I'm doing. And, it's different for me, and it's something that I've had to get used to, but I'm doing it by choice because, frankly, it's just more enjoyable. And I think, ultimately, my training is better because of it, because I'm not being hyper-focused and type A on what are my splits today? What's my training like today? Am I getting to this goal? Am I going to do I think I'll break X time or Y pace? And all of this stuff, which is it's easy for me to fall down that rabbit hole, and I think that it has negatively impacted my training, where it's kind of like you have coaches in certain leagues who will say, hey, like they don't enjoy the wins as much as they dislike the losses. And I think it's easy to take that same kind of mentality into your training when you're so hyper-focused on either a time goal or the times in your training. Where it's like, all right, like if things go well, okay, well, they should go well. And if they don't go well, what happens, right? And I should say, I make that mistake all the time as a parent, right? And I shouldn't, but that's a completely separate situation. I will say, like, not taking that approach where it's like, instead, I'm doing the opposite. We're like, hey, I went for a run and I hit the intent of the workout. It's great. What was the pace? Who gives a crap?
Yeah.
That's not important here. The important thing is that, like, not even the important thing, the gratifying thing is that I was able to hit the intent of the workout, and the gratifying thing even beyond that is that I did the mileage. Hey, that's great. That's awesome.
That's right? Awesome. And what a breath of fresh air that is, right? To not think about the pace, not have a time goal, and just like do it. Just kind of run by feel. What it's going to be, what it's going to be, and like just have fun and like enjoy the process.
And I think it's easy to look at that sort of mentality and to think of it as like, all right, in a way, you're just giving your permission not to hit certain paces, right? And I think if someone can listen to that and think that, and that's understandable. I think conversely, you can also look at it the opposite in terms of you don't know what paces you're going to hit in a workout. And who knows? Maybe sometimes you'll hit faster, right? Like, I didn't know the paces I hit at the end of that long run that I did last weekend. I just know that I ran faster. I turned my smartwatch into a dumb watch. All it had was time. Mm-hmm. It was just the time. That's the total time on the watch. I knew roughly how long it would take me. So every once in a while, I looked over to the distance. Pace was not one of the options. I took it off the watch. Again, I don't have a Timex. I don't have a Mickey Mouse watch. I have the Coros Vertex 2. It cost me a lot of money. I don't know why I spent so much money on this watch, but I did. And I basically don't use any of the features. I just use time and distance, and they're on different things. So I have to like go back and forth between the two if I even want to look at it. So I finished the race. I finished the run, and then I look at it later. I'm like, oh, wow. I was running holding 720 pace the last 2 miles. I had no idea. And if you had told me to do that, I would have been like, you're crazy. That's never going to happen. Like, that's my 5K pace. Again, I don't know my 5K pace. I would just be making it up. But that's what I would have assumed my 5K pace was. Obviously, it isn't. I just held it for 2 miles at the end of a long run. But that's you can frame it as I'm limiting myself but not holding myself to a standard.
Absolutely.
I'm going to do that now. I have the Garmin and, you know, the Forerunner, and maybe I don't know if I can do that, take the pace off.
Yeah, you can change the settings of the watch face. And again, it's not like I don't know I can upload the information afterwards and it's great, but it doesn't serve you. At least it doesn't serve me, I should say. And I think at best, it can validate our preconceived notions. At best. Right. At worst, it can be demotivating in the moment. And it's like, who wants that trade-off?
Totally.
Yeah.
No, I think if more people did that, I think people would ultimately be happier in a sense. Like, I mean, I think there is a time and a place to know what your pace is, but it is freeing to not know and just run. And just run because you can and feel, I know that sounds like a commercial, but feel the wind through your hair. But honestly, like, you know, just do it because you can do it. And if you're going to run fast, run fast. Run as fast as you can. And who cares about the pace, the numbers on the stinking watch?
Well, you get, and also too, I think you get to enjoy the learning process of what certain times feel like. Because if you're constantly looking at a pace, then you need to look at the pace to know what you're running. But after a while, this feels like 7:20
Right, it's like the
pace.
Tail wagging the dog.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing, too, is that especially if you're doing it where you're having jogging recoveries, you can base how hard you're running on as if you can hold the jogging recovery.
Yeah.
So this is what I tell some of my athletes. Like, hey, say you're doing, like today I did, 6x3 minutes hard, 2 minute easy recovery. So it's kind of, so basically you're going too hard if you can't hold your easy pace in the recovery.
Totally.
That's how you know you're going too hard. You don't have to look at your watch.
Right.
Yeah.
If you can't hold the easy pace in recovery, you're going too hard.
Yep.
That's it.
You sound like a great coach, Matt. You have all these athletes. They must love all this advice that you're giving them.
I don't know. I take compliments as well as you do, Natalie. I don't really know what to say. But I do enjoy coaching. It's something I've done for my whole life. You know, I coached college basketball for 7 years after I played college basketball. And I was so excited to get back into coaching. And this time with runners several years ago. And I enjoy it. But ultimately, this is not stuff that I've always done. Like, I was definitely like, all right, we're going to go to the track. We're doing half-mile repeats. We're going to do walking recovery. And I think there's a time and place for that. But ultimately, most of the people who are listening to this and most people that I'm working with are working towards endurance races and challenges that require aerobic development as the preeminent thing that they need to do. So a walking, resting recovery, you know, they're not training for the mile.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? Like that's great for certain things. It's not great, I think, for the vast majority of what dedicated amateur runners are trying to do. And getting that jogging recovery in really helps you set up for like what you should be doing in the other part, right? So talking about tail wagging the dog, if you're doing the recovery paces right, that allows you to do the other part right.
Mm-hmm. Now, you coach a bunch of athletes, but do you have a coach? Is someone coaching you for your marathon?
So right now, I've worked with James McCurdy for a long time, and he's a good friend of mine, which he's just an awesome, awesome guy. I did the Mastering 40 thing last year, which I loved, but then I just needed, like, it didn't go well for me, and it was my fault that it didn't go well. So it was just like, you know, I just need to, like, do a little refresh, and, you know, I still work for James. I'm a McCurdy-trained coach, and James is an awesome guy, and I've known him long before I started working for McCurdy trained. And yeah, he's another New Englander, which is nice. So no offense to people who live in SoCal, but I I do enjoy doing that. So it's one of those things though where I think for me, I knew that I needed to focus on aerobic development. And I, one of the best things for me about having a coach and why I've always loved having a coach was that it helped me stay on course, right? So having someone that I was subject to really made sure that I did the stuff that I wanted to do in order to become a better runner and become a better athlete. And then I'm at the point now where I don't, having a coach is still very valuable, but I don't need it for that reason. There's plenty of other reasons to have a coach. But for me, that was the preeminent reason for a long time. Whereas for now, I think part because I have the podcast and part because I'm coaching athletes, I don't need it for that anymore. And it's nice to just kind of like, again, kind of coach myself in a way and to work myself in a way that allows me to, you know, do things that I know I need to work on, even if I was kind of hiding it from myself for a while.
And by the way, I wanted to say this, and you had brought it up earlier and I didn't get a chance to cut in, but I really did enjoy the Mastering 40 series. I loved that, you know, you were talking to Adrian, your the psychologist, and Starla was the nutritionist, and of course James was the coach, and like just having them like at different points like weigh in on everything that you were doing, and you were able to talk, and like, and I was like relating to so much of it. I'm like, yeah, okay, you know, I thought it was, I loved it. So there you go.
Well, I appreciate that. If I had been doing my glute exercises and strengthening, then I probably could have kept going. Who knows if I would have actually gotten the breaking the 40 and the 10K. But it was kind of an anticlimactic end to a fun adventure. That's for sure.
Well, now it's culminating in you doing this marathon, and that's going to be epic. Yeah. So there you go. Matt, we are, I could talk to you forever about the podcast and coaching and all this stuff, but we want to talk to you about where you live in Rhode Island. Let's do this.
Yeah, I'm an evangelist for Rhode Island. You know, Molly Huddle, Lindsey Krause, a little bit of Matt Chittum. There's a lot of things to like about Rhode Island. So let's do it.
So tell us where we're going to go run first when we come visit.
We're coming.
Okay, so first of all, there are some people that you talk to and they talk about a specific city or town, and that makes all the sense in the world. Rhode Island's not big. Anyone who doesn't know this, you should. It's a small state in the country. You probably learned this in third grade. And it's true. It's the longest, it's a small city in the country, small state in the country with the longest name. We actually just changed our name recently. Now it's just Rhode Island. Before it was actually Rhode Island and Providence Plantations. And finally, they like got rid of the Providence Plantations part.
Wait, what?
This was the name of the state up until like last year.
No, it was not.
Swear to God. I swear.
Wait, are you kidding?
No. They always say it's the smallest state, longest name.
Huh.
I've never heard of that.
They didn't tell us that in third grade.
No, when our kids, we've had two kids now go through fifth grade when you do the whole states and caps, right? And we were all immersed in it, and we never heard about this. So I don't know
if
it is.
Well, I think it's similar to like, you don't know like is Massachusetts a state or a commonwealth? Like, no one knows. People don't, unless you live there. Anyway, Rhode Island's small, so I'm going to talk about kind of the hub of Rhode Island. So Providence is definitely like, there are more than one city. There's more than one city in Rhode Island, but there is one major city in Rhode Island, and that is Providence. So we'll gear a lot of it towards that. I personally grew up in Barrington, Rhode Island, which is on the East Bay of Rhode Island. And now I currently live in Coventry, Rhode Island, which is an enormous town in the center of the state. My house, if you were going to look at a map of Rhode Island and just put a tack in the middle of it, you would come pretty close to where I currently live.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, I definitely want to explore that. And I don't want to veer off too much, but I really, and we didn't talk to Molly Huddle about this, but I'm really interested in Block Island. It looks beautiful. I definitely want to check that out. So if you know anything about that you want to share, I'm being selfish, but I want to hear about it.
Block Island is cool. Block Island is so nice. So you take a ferry from Narragansett and you head over to Block Island. It's a cool spot. It's funny. It's like, you know, there's probably commercials in your area that have had the same jingle your whole life. The Block Island and Fairy is one of those. So it's the same jingle when I was a kid. My kids now sing it if they see it on the
like, okay, sing it for us. What is it?
Sail away on the Block Island Ferry. Take a trip and things end be time. But something like that. Anyway.
Ladies and gentlemen.
It basically sounds
Matt
like a Jimmy Buffett. Sounds like a Jimmy Buffett ripoff is kind of what it sounds like. So you go over there. Styling. It's nice. It's super small because it's part of Rhode Island. It's the way it goes. It's a complete tourist spot. There's not a lot of people that live over there. And it certainly is a nice place, and it's something where you where the boat lands, that's where like all of kind of the commerce is. You know, there's people there to go to the beach. That's what it is. You go there, you go to the beach, and there's not a lot in the middle. It's just like right along the edges. There's stuff. There's a road that goes along the perimeter, and like that's it. There's not a lot going on there, but it's fun, especially if you're more in beach mode.
Nice.
Sounds good. So can we put that under the places of interest category when we come to Rhode Island?
That's a good spot. For okay. sure. It's more of a, I wouldn't say you wouldn't get like a Rhode Island feel, but it's definitely a cool spot. That's for sure.
Okay. All right. Well, then let's back up and talk about running in Rhode Island. If we're coming to Rhode Island, you know I'm packing multiple shoes, Matt. I'm coming to All run time. With you, of course, and we're going to hang out. So where are you taking us to go on a run?
One of the best places to go is to Blackstone Boulevard, which is on the eastern side of Providence, kind of right on the Pawtucket-Providence line, on the eastern side, kind of where you would find Brown University, places like that, kind of the northern end of Providence. It's really nice. So it's just a boulevard with this island in the middle that stretches the whole way, and it's a kind of like towpath in the middle of just in between the two lanes of this boulevard. So, like, basically, if you're going south, it's on the right-hand side. If you're going north, it's on the basically, I didn't say right and left side. But anyway, there's, like, if you're going south, it's on one side. Then there's, like, this island in the middle. And then north is on the other side. In the island, there's a towpath in the middle. And it's really fun. So, it's, like, elevation change. It's like this. It kind of has a trail running feel. But because it's a towpath, like, you can definitely open it up. It's a great place to run. People who live in the area gravitate towards it all the time. It is really cool. You'll see people running there all the time. I actually had a chance. I met up with Roma Gettigan in Providence. And that's where we went. We're like, hey. She's like, hey, let's go for an easy run. It was easy for her. it was not easy for me. But that's where we went. We met up like right at the north end of Blackstone Boulevard, you know, ran the towpath, and then we kind of then dove east to go towards the water, and then come back up this hill, catch the towpath again, come back down. It's a great spot. When I was training for the marathon back, I think the Cape Cod Marathon back in 2011. We did a lot of track workouts at the Brown Stadium, or we'd meet at Brown Stadium and then kind of jog over to the boulevard and then actually run on the road around it and kind of like do our mile repeats around. Again, it's longer than a mile, but kind of like along the road. And then the guy who was coaching us, Bob Rothenberg, would kind of like stay in his like little Honda and kind of like, you know, drive next to us or meet us at the next interval spot. That's a great spot, and there's people who are walking there a lot. It's just it's a great location. There's a lot of meetups, a lot of group runs over there, and for good reason.
That sounds great. Oh, and yeah. You know, it's so funny when you were saying you ran with Roma Gettigan, and it's like I think about that too. Like, you know, if you run with a pro runner and they're like, let's go for an easy run. And it's like, what is their definition of an easy run?
Who's easy are we talking
right?
here?
I mean, like, if you know, if they're running like 7:15 pace, I'm like, okay, that's not an easy run for me. But
and the other thing, too, is that there are like coffee shops like right where you would park. Right. So it's not just like, hey, is the running great? It's like, all right, is it accessible? Is it easy to get to? And post run, is there something there that's going to bring me back to it? That is a great spot. I will say another great spot, and this is something that I'm much more in tune with now because of where I live and just kind of opening my horizons, is Arcadia State Park. So people may know of Arcadia National Park, which is actually in Maine. That's a great spot, too. Awesome. Much bigger than Arcadia State Park in Rhode Island. That place in Maine is absolutely fantastic. I've been there. It's right near Bar Harbor, and it's totally worth it.
And first place in the United States where the sun rises. Am I right? Fact check me, right?
I think so. I think Presque Isle is the most eastern point in Maine. Because okay. I remember, or is it Presque Isle? Maybe it's a different place. I try to remember. I got recruited there to play basketball, and it was like that was their selling point in the brochure. I'm like, the eastern point of the United States, there has to be more to this college than just the most eastern place, right? I could just go to the University of Nova Scotia, I guess. Like, they're more
right,
eastern.
Exactly. Right. You're like, you got to sell me more than that. Come on.
Right, exactly. University of Virgin Islands is more eastern. Maybe I'll head down there. But so Arcadia State Park in Rhode Island, or Arcadia Management Area is also what it can be called, is a great spot. So there's a couple things there. First of all, there's a bunch of dirt roads, which are a lot of like rolling hills, undulating, you know, and also side to side. So it's dirt roads, which have rocks on it, but not so big that you have to wear trail shoes. Or I wear ankle braces when I trail run, because I just have to. My ankles are awful. I don't have to wear them on these dirt roads. The 14-mile I did the other day was on these dirt roads. It was great. And it wasn't have to run back and forth. I could just go out, and there was plenty of room to do it. And the trails are fantastic. And New England trails, and for good reason, are known to be really technical, really rocky, lots of roots. And there's plenty of trails like that in and around my area. There are a lot of trails in Arcadia which aren't at that level of technical or technicality. So there's certainly, you're going to want to watch out where you're going, but they're super accessible. They're really fun. They're everywhere. There's a lot of places to park in and around the area. A lot of different places to, like, from a trailhead perspective, I'm going to go here, I'm going to go there. They're also well known. So if you go on a place like alltrails.com, or if you bring up their app, there's going to be plenty of places that you can just like go on the app. All right, this is the trail I'm going to run, and you can navigate from there. So it's super accessible, but you're not going to be running into a lot of people. Like, I've been on those trails plenty of times, and like I don't see people. Granted, I might be doing it at times where most people are working, because I have an atypical job, I can kind of make my own hours. But it's been so much fun exploring that, and it's stuff where I love technical trail running, but I don't love it all the time. I don't always want to be going 14 miles an hour. I mean, 14 minute miles, right? Like, right. That's not always what I want to be doing, or, you know, worrying about, like, there's a route here, route there, route there, route there, route there. Sometimes I want to open it up a little bit, and sure. It definitely provides that opportunity.
That now, sounds beautiful.
Yeah. Now, if you're not running into people out there, is there anything else that you could be running into that people might want to be wary of or mindful of? Not wary.
Yeah, we have mountain lions here.
I haven't seen any animals, if that's what you're asking.
Yes, because we've talked to people about bears, mountain lions. And I just, you know, most of the time, now if we're talking, you know, Manhattan, okay, there's other things to be, then I'm wary of the people, right? But I'm not worried about the animals.
I would say be wary of the ticks if you're in Rhode Island.
Oh.
If you're in New England and you're okay. doing trail running, it shouldn't stop you. Maybe you can put on some tick repellent beforehand. You definitely want to check yourself afterwards. You know, Lyme disease is named after the Lyme, Connecticut is a town. Lyme, Connecticut. Oh. That's where it came from. The naming convention for it, I'm pretty sure, was from Lyme, Connecticut, which is 40 minutes from my house. So, I mean, obviously it has spread way past that at this point. So, again, these trails aren't so tight where you're going to be running in high grass or running, like, you know, through things where the stuff's hitting you and all of that. Like, they're wide enough for you to manage, but it would behoove you to check yourself afterwards just in case.
That is the one thing, like, now I'm like, I do love trail running a lot. But that is the one thing that definitely does, like, I think about, like, as people talk about Lyme disease, and it, you know, it's like, it plagues them forever and you can't, like, get rid of it. And so I'm kind of like, oh, okay. Let's be careful of that. Yeah. So thank you for that.
Good point.
Everybody put on your repellent and check yourself for ticks after this run.
Safety first.
Okay, Matt, so now we're starving. Where are we eating? Give us all the things.
All right. Okay, so first of all, if we're in Providence, there's just so many places. I mean, Providence is legit when it comes to food. And it really depends on the stuff that you want to eat. I think that we are known, rightfully so, for what we have from an Italian food perspective. right? Federal Hill in Rhode Island is known. You know, like my stepdad, I grew up on Federal Hill, and like when he was growing up, it was like when you were like just walking through his neighborhood, like it was Italian being spoken. Like it was like, again, you know, he wasn't like he grew up speaking English, but at the same time, like if you're just walking around, like a lot of these people came from Italy. It was an Italian neighborhood. That's how it was. Like the deli had like live chickens in it. Like if you were getting food, like it was legit. And Federal Hill is still that way today. So Federal Hill is an institution in Rhode Island. So if you're talking about dinner time in Rhode Island, that's one way to go. Okay, so there are a lot of restaurants over there which are absolutely fantastic. Siena is known as a top spot for sure, but a lot of it's one of those things where it's like it depends on the person. Everyone has their place, right? Mm. That kind of thing. We are the ocean state, so of course you're gonna have seafood. So if you you head down to like the beaches and you're in Narragansett and stuff like that, like you can go to like Iggy's and places like that, which are just a great clam cakes, and you get the fried fish and all that. You can see a lot of people are going to head down to Newport. Newport has unbelievable seafood restaurants, right? Mm. So if you go to like Bowen's Pier over there, there's a bunch of food places. I like Fluke is a great, it's an absolutely fantastic fish restaurant. Again, just like Federal Hill, like everyone has places that they like, and you really can't go wrong with a lot of them.
Wait, I have a question. Hold on. I have a question. How far is Newport from Providence?
So it's about 40 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can either go like there's no direct way, of course, this is how Rhode Island works. So you can either like go down like through Rhode Island, like towards Narragansett and cross the bridges to go over, or you go in through Massachusetts, which is like such a Rhode Island thing. Like you go through another state to connect to the fastest way to get to another part of Rhode Island.
See, that would never happen in California. You would never have to go through. Well, no, not have to.
Be like, hey, what's the best way to get to Sacramento? You'd be like, all right, well, you got to go through Vegas.
right.
So Barstow,
not happening.
Vegas, Reno, Sacramento.
That's pretty good that you know that. Which would be an insane route. But yes, the fact that, you can be in California and on the same drive on the East Coast, I've driven through 5 states.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? So, totally different.
Well, also, too, 40 minutes from Newport to Providence, you guys, whoever wants to, like, do both in, like, a long weekend or a week trip or something. You know, with runners, we run in the morning, usually, and then we like to eat breakfast. Do you have any fun breakfast places?
So, in Providence, there's a great place called Brickway on Wickenden. It's a really good breakfast place. It's, eclectic. By that I mean the food is great and the wait staff does not care about you at all. which means it's really good, right? Like you'll hear the same thing about like Golden Crust Pizza in Boston. It's like you know the food's good because the wait staff literally could give a shit about you at all times. So that's like that's always like a great way of noticing whether this restaurant is gonna last forever or it won't last past the end of this sentence.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. So,
because they're like, hey, we know you're going to come it's so good. We don't even have to prove anything.
Right. They don't have to prove anything. No, it's great. And there's so many people that go there, right? You have the people who are just like, middle-aged people like myself like go there. And boy, does it hurt me to say that. But the middle-aged people like myself, there's also like, it's right next to Brown University. It's also right down the street from Rhode Island School of Design. So you have like that collection of people there. It's right next to like the area of Providence where like the young professionals would live because it's like super cheap. So you have like a full panoply of people going in there, and it's just a really good spot. The food's great, and it's not too removed from where you're probably going to be running from. It's right near India Point Park. It's on Wickenden Street. Where if you're in Providence, Wickenden Street is kind of like on the south end of South Main Street, which is kind of one of the preeminent areas of the city.
Sounds good. We like to eat dessert. So where are we going for a good treat?
Okay, so for dessert, there is a place. I'd say that the place that's known for dessert is actually a dessert-only restaurant called Pastiche on Federal Hill. It's always a line to get in there. It's no joke. The desserts are absolutely fantastic. So if you're staying in Providence, Pastiche is, you will not be disappointed. Okay, that's for sure. With that said, there's a huge culinary scene in Rhode Island. So Johnson & Wales University is a really good culinary school, and it's in Providence. So there's places popping up all the time that have really innovative stuff, but you can't go wrong with Pastiche at all, which is a great spot. It's actually right across the street from Caserta's Pizza, which is kind of like the Rhode Island pizza. Caserta's Pizza. Actually, I should say, is one of my high school basketball teammates, his dad was like the head chef at Caserta's Pizza, so we'd go there for after every win, which was great. People always try to figure out how they make their pizza. It's an interesting thing. That's a great spot for sure. And then let's see here. So if you're not staying in Providence, there's a kind of like a local chain called Greg's. It's three G's in Greg. So Greggs. Greg's. And they have a chocolate cake, which is to die for. Death by chocolate. It's unbelievable. Oh. It's absolutely fantastic.
I'm a huge chocolate cake fan.
I had it 2 days ago, Natalie. It was great. It was great. it's just the real deal. So there's another place also that has like a donut cake, which is also legit. Allie's Donuts makes donut cakes. Another place that the line is insane, but they're legit too.
Donut cake.
People travel with them all the time. Like my in-laws will take it down to Texas if they're going. Like they'll bring it.
Now, is this a large donut or is it like a pile of donuts in a cake, like a tower of donuts?
No, it's like a large donut.
Okay.
I'm hungry about right it, now.
Yeah, it's not like a donut pyramid. That's kind of what I'm imagining. Like,
right. Yeah, the tower of donuts. No, okay, we're talking about a big donut cake. Okay.
Right.
Oh, that sounds so good. We have not had dinner yet. I'm so hungry right now. Okay. I'm trying to focus here, Matt. All right. Well, we probably want to maybe go out for a little drink or hang out for a beer or something. So where are we going?
Okay. So there are so many good places in downtown Providence. So many. And this is also where you're going to be staying as well. So if you're coming to Providence, you're going to be staying in downtown Providence. There's the Biltmore, which is a pretty good spot. Hotel Providence is also right there in Westminster. They're both kind of in the thick of it. And I think just from a location perspective, that's where you're going to want to be. There's probably maybe a nicer room you could get somewhere else, but these are high quality places. They're maybe not as, some people like to travel and like have a really eclectic type experience and type of room. And I can definitely get down with that. These probably don't quite hit kind of that note, but you're going to get a high quality place, and there are definitely some luxury elements if you want to go that route, but also the location's exactly where you want to be, where you're not going to need a car to get around and go to a lot of different kinds of places. So I would say Biltmore, Hotel Providence, both kind of hit that for people. And then from there are so many really cool, we're talking about like 200 meters from these places, and we're talking 50 restaurants within like four blocks of these places. I mean, that's all there is. It's hotel restaurants. It's all there is in downtown Providence. It really is like, it's not like office buildings. No one works there. It's just restaurants and hotels. So there are so many places to drink. It's funny. We were talking about this offline. I'm like, I haven't gone out to a bar for a while. I actually had to like Google, like, what places do I like going? There are so many places because I worked at Providence College. So I would go to a lot of Providence College basketball games. I've been going to them since I was a little kid. But for work, I'd go down there all the time and meet people, which is always really fun and exciting. From a bar perspective, there's a place called the Tiny Bar, which is fairly new, which is really nice. Basically, it's like the size of a shed. You don't even go inside. It's like the size of a shed. That's where they make the drinks, and you sit outside. So it's in a really nicely cultivated area. It's beautiful. In the winter, I mean, obviously, the winter's legit here. They have all the heaters set up, so you can actually, it's not just a seasonal place. You can sit there all year round. I will say my dad loves that place. He you know, he's one of those guys who like knows everyone's name at the place.
Yeah.
He absolutely loves it there. If you want to sit by the water and you're just, say, it's during the day, and it stays nice weather. Mm. One of the places that people really love is the Hot Club. It's not going to be like the drinks are crazy. You're just there for the location. It's on the water. It's on this huge patio. The Whiskey Republic is right next to it as well. Again, this is all about like you're going there because you want to be on the water, right? Mm. If you're thinking more of like, hey, I want to go more like old-timey dive bar feel. There's a place called the Wild Colonial, which is like in a really old building. It's kind of in the basement. And it's like one of those, like, if you're on the eastern side of the building, you don't see. It's like it's raised up. It's on a hill. Where the western side of the building is on the other side of the hill. So it's like the basement kind of empties out into that parking lot. But mm-hmm. it's like all stone and brick. It's really cool inside. It's not a place you would like take a client, but it might be a place where you go like post-client. And have fun and play darts and do that kind of stuff, which can be really enjoyable. And then there's other places that are more high end. Like, you know, if you go to like, say you're going to like to Trinity Repertory Theater in downtown Providence, right next to the Dunkin' Donuts Center, which is where like Providence College plays and stuff like that. Or the Providence Bruins. Say you go to that theater, there's like four restaurants directly across the street that are all high end, like they, you know, farm to table type restaurants. Mm-hmm. They're excellent. So there's a good spot. But on the other side of it is the Trinity Brew House, which is connected to there, and they make all their own beer. It's fantastic. It's a great spot. Like if you're doing like pregame before any event that's there. Again, the Dunkin' Donuts Center is 50 yards away from the entrance to Trinity Brew Pub. So you have that spot. If you're going to the Dunk, which is like, you know, 12 to 13,000 seat arena, it's not huge, huge, but there's like, that's like the main Rhode Island location for a lot of concerts and stuff. Trinity Brew Pub is a great spot if you're more beer oriented.
Okay, wait, hold on. Are you telling me there is a venue called the Dunkin' Donuts Center, like our Staples Center? You guys have the Dunkin' Donuts Center?
Yeah, it's great, because for all the basketball games, you just call it the Dunk. It's like perfect name.
That is so cool. I never knew that. That is awesome.
Yeah, and it's like the only office building that's like in downtown Providence is the one that you walk past. So you go from Trinity Brew Pub, and you walk past like the front of Hasbro. That's where like the Hasbro, like, I think their national Toys. Office building is, and then you cross the street, and that's the Dunkin' Donuts Center. So nice. It used to be called the Providence Civic Center, and then Dunkin' Donuts, you know, bought the naming rights or whatever.
I love it. That sounds much better. The Dunkin' Donuts Center. I want to come just to go there. That sounds like fun.
I know it does sound like fun. and what's the running like if I'm staying right in the Biltmore or the Hotel Providence or what have you, right downtown? Can I run out the door and hit some of these options that you talked about earlier, or what does that look like?
Yeah, you can. So I think if you're staying downtown, you probably can run. You can run near the water, which is nice, and there's some running paths down there. To get to Blackstone Boulevard, that would be a little bit of a hike. So from a running perspective, from a you know, it's probably 6-7 miles away. So maybe not even that far. Maybe it's 4 or 5. But, you know, if you're running there, running back, how much time are you spending on the boulevard, right? So it's a little bit farther away. I would say downtown Providence is not the most runnable part of the city. But it's not too far from places where you can run. In addition to that, if you were like run from like, say you're staying at Hotel Providence or the Biltmore, and you ran past the breakfast place I mentioned, Brickway and Wickenden, which is right next to India Point Park, then there's the bridge right there that kind of heads towards Massachusetts. You cross that bridge, it's a bike path, and you can then hop on that bike path and just go for like 20 miles. That's where actually the Providence Marathon, the Rhode Island Marathon hits that as well.
Cool.
Okay.
Speaking of races, which races do you love? Like, we want to come do a race.
All right. So, the USATF New England has held their New England Championship for the 5K in downtown Providence for a long time. That's a great 5K to run. Some of the greats in the sport have won it. Emily Sisson, Molly Huddle, and a number of other people as well. That's a great 5K for sure. But there's 5Ks everywhere, right? So, I would say the race that's the most fun in Rhode Island is not one that you're going to find on any race calendar. It's actually called the Nooseneck 18K. It's put on by a local running group called the Tuesday Night Turtles. It's a running loop that they created. It starts on Tavern on the Hill in Exeter, Rhode Island, which is a town that no one's ever heard of. And it starts and ends at this tavern. It's a lollipop course. So literally, you go out, then you run in like this longer circle type thing, and then you run back. It's super hilly. It's a challenge. The first mile is like, I think the first half mile is like a 300-foot drop.
Oh my gosh!
But you come back up that,
yes,
to finish. And so that's no joke. And it's a great race. It's for diehards only. I say that because it's at 10 a.m. on December 26th.
So it's the day after Christmas.
So if you're coming to Rhode Island to visit some family and you're a diehard runner, again, I didn't say fast. I said diehard. There are people at all paces. By all paces, I mean, yes, some incredibly speedy people. And then some people who are running literally half as fast. But, you know, It's diehards only. It's 18K, so that's 11 point whatever from a mileage perspective. So you'll set a PR because you'll never run that distance again.
Yeah.
And that's always fun. You get one of the biggest hills on in Rhode Island, which is always enjoyable. And there's no race entry fee. You just show up, and if you want to bring some canned goods, great. You put your name on a clipboard. And then that's it. It's so low key. They have like a Facebook group. That's how you find out about it. It's basically, it's this running group. But there are some really, really good runners that do it. Like I think the first time I did it, I lined up next to this guy who was like jacked, super strong, really fast. His name's David Principe. And he was super fast. And you can tell he brought his son with him, which was interesting because his son was like 10. This is an 11-mile race.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So David is like a 2:38 marathoner, and has been for a very long time. He's been on my show, and his son ran, and his son was so fast. He's kept up with his dad the whole time in this race. Later, fast forward 7 years later, David Principe Jr.
Mm-hmm.
breaks 4 minutes in the miles as a high school in Rhode Island, gets a full track scholarship to Stanford and runs there. So nice. That was like my first trip to this race was lining up next to these two guys who were, you know, it was really interesting, and neither of them won that race. But again, there were people who ran at 12-minute mile pace and had a blast, and no one cared. And they all, you know, finished up at Tavern on the Hill and just kind of celebrated after the fact.
That sounds really like something fun. You would do.
You would tell them, yeah,
let's go.
Well, I was thinking about that.
Christmas, and no, when else are we ever going to do this? Come
know.
On.
I don't know. I'm a diehard.
Well, you're super bloated the next day. I mean, this is the day after Christmas. So, like, you didn't get a lot of sleep. Well, I say, when I first did this race, I didn't have kids. So it was like, not that big of a deal. But, you know, if you have kids, the day after Christmas is like,
yeah.
You might not have had a drop of alcohol, but you're hungover.
You are hungover.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying. I'm like, I'm a diehard runner, but I don't know. I'd have to really mull that one over. Because the day after Christmas, I'm like exhausted.
This is true. Right. But I think you'd rally for something like this if we were in Rhode Island.
But also, no one cares about it's like the pacing. That literally, you don't even have a bib. You're like, what's your name?
That sounds like my kind of race. I think I could be up for that.
That would be fun.
Running stores in the Providence area that you love, what do you recommend?
Roadrunner. So not Roadrunner Sports, like we've seen that's all over the country, and I'm sure they do great work. Roadrunner, spelled like Rhode Island. So R-H-O-D-E. Roadrunner is on North Main Street. It's actually right near Blackstone Boulevard that I mentioned a couple times now. It's over on North Main Street. In Rhode Island, it is great. If you live in South County, Wakefield Running Company is similar. I'm someone who visits Roadrunner all the time. Some really good runners. They actually have a good Instagram page as well. And they basically take some of the top local runners, and they work at the store, which is really nice. And they had a really good connection with New England Distance Project, was something that was happening for a few years. Some excellent runners coming out of there. Some really talented college runners in New England came through there, and they were part of New England Distance Project and would work part-time at the running store. Not too dissimilar what you see with like the Brooks Hansen's Project, where they have those folks work at the store and stuff like that. Again, it was kind of like a watered down version of that. But you know, some really good runners who work at the store, which is kind of cool. And they have, they have as much as you're going to expect from a local running store. They don't have every single option out there that you'll see like on a website, but they have a ton, and it's like where you go to like every single Providence race, like the bib pickup is there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I every love single that. Race.
Yeah, they're the hub.
They're the hub.
Yeah,
that's fun.
Yes.
Okay. Now I know as far as like places of interest, we talked about Block Island. Other than that, like where would you say you have to go here when you come to visit?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I think the people will always talk about like, all right, if you're coming to Rhode Island, like the beaches are kind of the preeminent thing. So whether it's Newport or Narragansett or Westerly, basically like the coming for the Atlantic Ocean piece of it. I think that that's going to be the main reason that people come to Rhode Island, and for good reason. I mean, that's, shoot, Taylor Swift bought a house in Rhode Island for a reason. Like, she lives mm-hmm. on the water at Watch Hill, and, you know, and she's working it down there, and that's a great spot, and especially if you're, like, in kind of the southwest part of Rhode Island, again, you're right there on the Atlantic Ocean. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then you're also right next to, like, Mystic, Connecticut, so if anyone's ever seen the movie Mystic Pizza, now really dating myself, that is, like, right down the street. So, you know, that's a real place, and Mystic, Connecticut is gorgeous. It's right, again, now we're talking about Connecticut, but again, it's like the neighboring town, right? So you're right there. You know, this is half an hour from my house, so it's not like we're talking about this big land area here. So I would say the beaches. I think people come to Rhode Island for the beaches if they're going to be coming here from a tourist perspective, and for good reason.
Sure.
I was so excited because I know I don't care that I'm dating myself, but I love that movie, Mystic Pizza, Julia Roberts, and like there's all these people in it. I love that movie, and I can't believe that Mystic, Connecticut is a real place. I'm like geeking out right now. I want to come and
see it all.
And see it all. Remember Mama Leona?
Oh yeah, it's old Mystic. Mystic, you know, there's an old Mystic, which is like, you know. It's whatever. It's old Mystic. The name speaks for itself. And then there's like the town of Mystic. The whole place is great. Yeah, it's super close. It's right there. The pizza's good. Not gonna lie. You're not gonna be like disappointed. You'd be like, oh, bummer. Like,
so wait. So it's really real. So they really do have good pizza. Because remember in the movie, Matt, when Mama Leona, you know, she got
the
call.
I haven't seen the movie.
You haven't seen the movie?
This is like the thing. My wife has seen all of these older movies. I have seen none of them.
Oh, Matt, funny. You have to see the movie. Well, movie is so good. Wait, you don't think so?
No. I was going to say, now he's going to watch it just for the sake of, you know.
The ship has sailed. Gerald, the ship has sailed. It's not happening.
He's
not going to watch it.
Dating yourself. Bummer. You know, when you're talking about the bar your dad, you know, your dad loves, and everybody knows his name. I was like, is his name Norm? I was just, you know.
Yeah, there you go. See? Yeah, it's just like going to Boston and visiting Cheers. The same thing.
That's right. Oh, Matt. Okay, we could talk to you all night, but we need to let you go. And one question that we always like to ask our guests is, if you could run anywhere in the world, where would it be and why?
I mean, I know you're asking this question. It's still hard to answer. Because you're just like, I mean, so many places, right? I mean, so many places. I guess I'm just going to say, I'm going to choose because I have to choose, right? This is like going to a really nice restaurant. You've narrowed it down to five choices. At some point, you just have to make a decision and you just move on, right? So I would love to, you know, people talk so much about Bend, Oregon and how it's historic and it's a great place to run. And there's just so much that comes with running there. I would love to head down there. Same thing with Boulder. Right, but people talk about running in Boulder as like nothing else. But I guess if I had to run anywhere, because you know I'm of that generation where like I saw all like when the pre-movies came out, like I was like in impression age, right? So like when both movies came out within 6 months of each other, I saw both of them, and I was part of that. So it was like I'm a big fan of that. But I'm all in. I guess I would love to choose Bend, Oregon, and for another reason, like that's a unheralded like big location for pro runners. Like I had two people on the show last week who were like, they're both living Bend. It's not why I chose them. It was just a happy coincidence. It was like, hey, Rebecca Mera and Mario Mendoza both live in Bend. It's like, that's not a big town.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you. Like, yeah, we've talked to people from Bend on the show and then just in general, and everyone's like, it's so beautiful there. So that's,
I would say the other thing is like, people always talk about Marin County. And the trails in Marin County being just like unbelievable. And you know, whether that or running through like the Redwoods up in the San Francisco area, I certainly wouldn't want to run in downtown San Francisco. But I think in
except
and around
Beta Breakers, you'd like that race.
I don't know. I've been to downtown San Francisco. I've seen the hills for myself.
Wait, is the Beta Breakers? It's pretty hilly, right? Or not? It's not that hilly.
You don't remember the Hay Street
Hill? I don't really remember.
The naked guy?
Oh, yeah. There's like naked people everywhere in this race. We won't talk about San Francisco, but...
The dude was...
It's crazy.
Rolling. I mean... And I was like...
That's talking about... That's taking Born to Run literally.
Yeah, I was like, he had nothing but shoes on and he was...
Oh, he had... Why wear the shoes? Why ruin it? Why ruin the aesthetic with shoes? Come on.
Right.
That's the what you kept on?
That's all. Just that.
Oh, my God. How disappointing.
Well, it is San Francisco. You got to watch out for what's
it's
running through the city.
It's crazy people, for sure.
But, yeah, Redwoods, all of it, come on out.
Like those things. I want to run through the trails that, like, you see in, like the Star Wars, like the second Star Wars,
yeah.
Right? They're, like, buzzing through all that stuff. Anyway, now I'm really...
I know.
So I think this is the end of the podcast because no one, if they had heard that in the beginning, they would have turned it off.
Oh, Matt, it has been so much fun catching up with you. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us.
My pleasure. This was a blast. You guys are doing great stuff.
Thank you. All right. Matt. I know. Hold on. Before we let you go, I know everybody knows where to find you and they know the Rambling Runner. And if they don't, they should. So where can everybody find you?
All right, so Rambling Runner Podcast on wherever you get your podcasts, right? Just search it. It's there. I'm usually, from a social media perspective, I'm on Instagram, rambling_runner. Also, last month I started doing shoe reviews over on YouTube, which I'm really excited about. I love shoes. I've been thinking about shoes my whole life. When I was a little kid, I used to get the East Bay magazines. I don't know if you guys used to get those. I would remember every little thing about every little shoe that wasn't like the baseball cleat or soccer cleat section. So every running shoe, every casual shoe, every basketball shoe. I knew all, knew every stat, came out twice a year, had it all. So I'm so excited to be doing the shoe reviews. So doing that over on YouTube as well. If you just search Rambling Runner on YouTube, it'll pop up as the second biggest search engine in the world. So it should be super easy to find. So that's a new venture. And I'm loving it because I can just talk shoes all the time anyway.
Awesome. Nice. Wait, hold on. The second largest search engine?
Yep.
Is YouTube.
Oh, I was...
But also, that's also kind of a misnomer, because YouTube's owned by Google. So, I mean, yeah. I don't know how you parse the words here, but yeah.
No. I'm being so silly. Like, I don't know what I was thinking. I was thinking that you were talking about the Rambling Runner was the, like... second largest like search. I don't know. Never mind.
I'm taking over the world one search at a time. Just not even running
I was like, wow, Matt, you're doing big things.
It's so true. You know, I'm building a rocket to send citizens into space. You know, I'm doing all sorts of stuff.
The first 10K or marathon in space, right? That's all you, Matt.
You know, it's we're not gonna even count time. We're gonna count steps. Like, how many steps does it take you to go 10K on the moon?
Yes.
You do it
yes.
6 steps or less, you win.
Thank you so much. This has been awesome.
My pleasure, guys.
All right, Matt. Have a good night. Thank you.
Matt Chittum, it was a blast having you on the show. If people weren't listening to The Rambling Runner for the great interviews and running knowledge, they would definitely listen for your great sense of humor. The picture you've painted of Providence, Rhode Island already makes me feel like we've run some miles, enjoyed a few drinks, and have had some great meals all around the city. Matt, keep training hard and get those glutes firing. Everyone, follow Matt on Instagram at Rambling Runner and find his show on your favorite podcasting platform. Come follow us at Sweet Run, Nat Runs Far, and on sweetrun.com.
A huge thank you to our friends at Inside Tracker for sponsoring the show. Use the code SWEETRUN to take 25% off on everything that they have to offer. We love the Essentials package. Go find out what's going on inside your body and have an awesome racing season. A big thank you to Inside Tracker. Are you guys enjoying the Sweet Run podcast? We are loving
bringing you this awesome content with amazing athletes from all over the world, sharing their personal journey, their running stories, and the tidbits and intimate details about where they live, and sharing it with you guys. So let's help grow our show. You guys can help us by leaving a rating and review on Apple iTunes or Apple Podcasts, subscribing to the show, sharing it on social media, telling your friends so that more people can find our content. We really appreciate you guys being here. Join us next week for another great conversation with an awesome runner living in a great location. We'll see you then.
We will see you then.